Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive? This time, we're tackling King Solomon, the wisest king, right?
Well, that's the common perception, but...
But there's always more to the story, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And we've got some great insights from Dr. John Oswalt's lecture on the Book of Kings to guide us.
Perfect. I love Dr. Oswalt's work. He always brings out those little details you never notice.
Yeah.
So, Solomon. It's like Solomon 101,
yeah,
but with a twist.
Yeah. Forget those boring textbooks. We're going to uncover some real surprises. Imagine inheriting a kingdom, but it's in total religious chaos.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. After years of the judges, things were, well, pretty unstable. Not exactly the peaceful, unified kingdom we picture with Solomon.
Okay. So right off the bat, we're busting some myths.
Yeah.
So where do we even begin with this chaos? What's the first thing that jumps out from Dr. Oswalt's lecture?
Well, he talks about the Ark of the Covenant, you know, that symbol of God's presence.
Right, right. Front and center in the tabernacle.
Exactly. Except it wasn't. It had been captured by the Philistines years earlier.
Oh, yeah. I'd completely forgotten about that. So the Ark, which is supposed to represent God's presence,
yeah,
it's gone.
Gone. And its return journey wasn't exactly smooth sailing either.
Oh, man. Talk about adding to the chaos. So how did this impact things on the ground? I mean, people still needed to worship, right?
Of course. But without that central symbol, things fragmented. Dr. Oswalt points to the rise of all these competing high places, maybe even rival priestly families.
Wow, so it's like losing that common ground, that thing that unites a community.
Precisely. And it makes you think, doesn't it? How do we hold on to our own beliefs and values in a world that's constantly pulling us in different directions?
That's a great question, and it's something we'll definitely come back to. But first, let's talk about Solomon himself. This is the guy known for his wisdom, right?
Right. Renowned for it.
But then he does something, well, something that seems pretty contradictory. He makes this alliance with Egypt and even marries Pharaoh's daughter.
Yeah, that's a big one. And Dr. Oswalt doesn't shy away from pointing out the problem. Exodus 34, it's pretty clear. God warns against making treaties with, let alone marrying, people who worship other gods.
And the language is so strong. Remember, worshiping other gods is compared to prostitution. It's a pretty serious statement about the exclusivity of the covenant.
It is, and it highlights that tension we often see, even today, right? That pull between political pragmatism and staying true to your beliefs.
Easy to judge Solomon from our comfy chairs, but how would we navigate that kind of pressure?
Exactly. And that leads us to this fascinating paradox about Solomon. He's known for his wisdom, yet he makes these compromises. So how do we reconcile that?
Well, what does Dr. Oswalt say? How do we make sense of this seemingly contradictory character?
Okay, so Dr. Oswalt brings up this story in 1 Kings 3, Solomon's dream. God appears to Solomon and says, ask for anything you want. Now, you'd expect him to ask for wealth, power, a long life.
Yeah, typical kingly requests.
Right. But Solomon, he chooses something different, something far more revealing. He asks for a listening heart.
A listening heart. What does that even mean?
He wants the ability to govern God's people well, to discern right from wrong. It's about serving others, not personal gain.
It's pretty humbling when you think about it. Here's this king with all the power and wealth imaginable, and he's asking for wisdom to serve others.
It really challenges our own priorities, doesn't it? What drives our decisions? Are we focused on ourselves or on something bigger?
Definitely something to ponder. And, well, God seems to be impressed, too, because he doesn't just grant Solomon wisdom.
Nope. He gets the wealth and honor, too. It's that classic reminder. You can't outgive God.
I love that. Okay, so Solomon's got this incredible wisdom.
Yeah.
How does it actually play out?
Well, Dr. Oswalt points to a very specific story, a pretty famous one, actually, the two prostitutes.
Oh, yeah, the one with the baby. That's always a tough one to explain to the kids.
It is. But the choice of using prostitutes in this story, it's deliberate. It shows Solomon's concern for justice extends to everyone, even those on the margins of society.
So let's break it down. Two women, both prostitutes, come before Solomon with this incredibly difficult situation.
Right. One of their babies has died, and each woman claims the surviving infant is her own. It's a classic he said, she said, but with unbelievably high stakes.
You can just imagine the tension in the room. So how does Solomon, with all his wisdom, approach this?
Well, he proposes something pretty radical. He says, let's cut the baby in half. Each woman gets half.
Whoa, hold on. That's extreme, to say the least.
Yeah.
I mean, where's the wisdom in that?
Right. It seems brutal, but Dr. Oswalt points out it's actually a brilliant move. Solomon understands human nature. He knows that a real mother would never let her child be harmed.
Uh-huh. So it's a test. And how does it play out?
Exactly as you expect. The true mother, she begs Solomon to spare the baby, give him to the other woman, anything but harm him.
And that reveals everything, doesn't it? It's that selfless love of a mother that exposes the truth.
Exactly. Solomon's judgment, it wasn't about violence. It was about revealing the truth through love and sacrifice.
Powerful stuff. And it shows us that true wisdom. It's more than just being smart. It's about understanding the human heart. Empathy. Knowing what really matters.
Right. And that takes us back to Solomon's request for a listening heart, doesn't it? He wasn't just asking for knowledge. He was asking for understanding.
And that's something we can all cultivate, I think, whether we're running a kingdom or just dealing with our own daily lives.
Absolutely. We all have our own kingdoms to govern, in a sense. Our families, our communities, even our own hearts and minds.
So we've seen Solomon at his best, making wise decisions, demonstrating compassion, prioritizing his people. But let's be real, Dr. Oswald doesn't paint him as some perfect hero, does he?
Nope, not at all. He emphasizes the importance of seeing the whole picture. Solomon's story, it's not just about triumph. It's also a cautionary tale, a reminder that even with all the wisdom in the world, you can still make mistakes.
Yeah, that's something Dr. Oswald really drives home, right? It's like
Right.
Solomon's story, it's not just a fairy tale ending. There's a darker side, too.
Right. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. And one thing that really stood out to me, Dr. Oswald points out, those blessings God showered on Solomon, they weren't exactly unconditional.
Oh, yeah. There was some fine print involved, wasn't there? What was it God said? If you walk in obedience to me.
And keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life also.
So it was a deal. Solomon's success, his long life, it was all tied to his obedience.
Which kind of makes those compromises he made even more, I don't know, concerning.
Yeah. The alliances with foreign powers, the marriages to women worshiping other gods.
Oh.
It's like he was playing with fire. It's like he knew better, right? But he did it anyway. And that makes me think, what about us? What compromises are we making that seem small now, but could have a huge impact later on?
That's a really good question. It forces us to look in the mirror, doesn't it? Are we sacrificing our values for convenience, for approval, for, I don't know, a quick win?
It's so easy to get caught up in the moment. But Solomon's story, it's a warning. Even with all that wisdom, he got off track. So what hope is there for us regular folk?
Well, I think that's exactly the point Dr. Oswald wants us to grapple with. Wisdom, even God-given wisdom, it doesn't make us superhuman. We still face those tough choices. The key is remembering that listening heart, developing that inner compass.
And not being afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not meant to do this alone. We have our faith, our communities, the wisdom of those who've come before us. And of course, we can always turn to God.
Nicely said. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Solomon, I'm left with this sense of, I don't know, hope. He wasn't perfect. He messed up, but his story still inspires.
I agree. It's a reminder that we're all on a journey. We're all going to make mistakes, but we can learn from them. We can grow. And even with our flaws, we can still leave a legacy of wisdom and compassion.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Solomon. It's been, well, enlightening, to say the least.
It has. Always a pleasure to chat with you and explore these fascinating figures from the Bible.
And to all our listeners out there, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep diving deep. We'll see you next time.